it's important in the history of Elizabethtown too, because when our merchants would go up east to buy things for their stores, they would unload at West Point and come down the L&N Turnpike, which was a hard surfaced road from between Elizabethtown and, well, actually between Louisville and Nashville. That was built in the 1830s. So West Point has been a very vital community in Hardin County history.
Mary Jo, once again, time moves along so quickly that if you're not of a certain age, if you're younger than I am, then you don't really remember how important railroads were. Passenger trains and so on. I was down at the Hallett's News Store in Glendale over the weekend, first time I'd been in there, and there are some paintings and some photographs and so on up in the balcony of the store of some of these old railroad depots here in Hardin County, and Cecilia and Sonora and so on.
I have always attributed the growth of Hardin County to the roads and railroads. We had the L&N Turnpike that we talked about a minute ago, that was a hard surface road between Louisville and Nashville that was completed in the 1830s. And then in 1859, the L&N Railroad came through as a north-south artery. Then in the 1870s, we had the Elizabethtown and Paducah Railroad that went from Elizabethtown to the west and was very important in the commerce, the development of that area, because it went through the West Kentucky coal fields.
Mary Jo, you've probably written some books about cemeteries. I don't know. For some people say cemeteries, goodness, why would I want to visit a cemetery? But there's a tremendous amount of history to be seen at almost any cemetery.
The value of our series of five volumes on Hardin County cemeteries lies in the fact that births and deaths were not required to be recorded in Kentucky until 1911. So the only information that is available outside of a few family Bibles about births and deaths prior to 1911 is in tombstone inscriptions. And so Jim and I, about 20 years ago, visited more than 150 cemeteries here in Hardin County and recorded the inscriptions on all the tombstones that we could find or dig up under the leaves and other debris. And Ancestral Trails has published and still has available for sale that series of books.
Can you think of any interesting story or inscription or tombstone from a cemetery?
Oh, Ron, not right off the top of my head.
What about the Elizabethtown City Cemetery? I was amazed when I really took the time. First of all, it's a good little vigorous walk if your health allows it, to walk up some of those hills at the Elizabethtown City Cemetery. But treat yourself. Just go up there, enjoy the walk, especially this beautiful weather we've been having, and take the time to stand in front of some of those stones and just read some of the history. I'm thinking of the Brown Pusey House people. I think some of those people are buried up there. I don't know.
Yes, there's a couple on that lot that were lost at sea in the sinking of a ship called the Vestris.
All right, so what about Fort Knox cemeteries? I know Memorial Day weekend, a lot of people visit cemeteries to see, to remember, to honor, but also sometimes to clean up and cemeteries and so on. But a lot of people visit Fort Knox cemeteries on Memorial Day weekend. Have you all traveled through them?
Well, yes, but we have not made an effort to determine who's buried over there. Those cemeteries have been cataloged by Sam McDowell and Gary Kemp, and I've just stayed away from that. Okay. That's their bailiwick.
Okay. Once again, getting back to the Hardin County History Museum, how close are we to actually opening that up to the public?
Oh, I think we'll be open in a month.
So sometime in July?
Yes, I've been told the middle of July. The work, the most time-consuming work that needs to be done up there is a final sanding of the floors. We pulled up the old carpet that was there and discovered underneath beautiful maple hardwood floors, and they have been sanded with a coarse grade of sandpaper and now need the final sanding and the finishing. There is one section in the back room. Library patrons will remember it as the magazine and newspaper room that had a concrete floor. And tomorrow, Kenny Tabb and Elvin Smith are going to Monticello to pick up maple flooring so that we can finish those two back rooms to match the flooring in the rest of the building.
Well, I don't want to bring up a sore point, but when that was Hardin County's number one public library, one of the biggest complaints for years was there were very few parking spaces out behind that building. But now that we have a nice parking area down there on the other side of the State Theater, do you see some people parking down there and then walking up to the History Museum?
Yes, we hope that that they will use the front entrance of the library. The back door will still be accessible to handicapped people, but the tour through the museum actually starts at the front door. And another thing that we have parking available right straight across the street, the city parking lot, parking is free there, and people who want to visit the museum are certainly welcome to park over there.
Well, there's ample parking in the downtown. There really is. People like to complain and say that, you know, there's no parking. There's plenty of parking. It may not be just exactly as convenient as everybody would like. I think we're sort of spoiled if we go to the mall. I see people parked in the fire lane right in front of the front door. You know, they don't want to walk 8 or 9 feet and walk through the door. But, I mean, as far as parking spaces in the downtown, there are a lot of parking spaces.
Ron, there are parking spaces available at the museum so that it is not necessary to walk nearly as far as to park at the mall and walk all the way through that building down to Sears.
Mary Jill, I don't want to get too philosophical here with you, but unless you and I, or mainly you, not so much me, but I am fascinated with history. I think it's important that we remember more than just 4 years ago or last year or this month. We're in such a rapid-paced society that a lot of people just don't even want to think about 10 years ago or 50 years ago, certainly not 100 years ago or 200 years ago. But why is it important that people remember history?
I think one reason is that we don't want to repeat the mistakes that we made in the past. But, you know, I quit work 30 years ago, and since that time I have devoted my entire time and energies to the preservation of Hardin County history. I've written a number of books and edit the quarterly for the Hardin County Historical Society. I try to write something different about things that other people haven't written about that pertain to Hardin County history.
Mary Jo, you've lived here all your life. You've told me that before we started doing this interview. And as we do this interview, Elizabethtown is creeping closer to Cecilia. As you know, it got fairly close when they bought up all the industrial park, and there was a recent article where they bought 400 more acres closer to Cecilia. It has gone virtually to, well, it has gone, you can drop the word virtually, it has gone to the Radcliffe city limits to the north, and the Radcliffe city limits have come to Elizabethtown southward. Those two city limits now meet. When Judy and I and our young family came here 30 years ago, those two communities were 7 miles apart.
Well, I remember when Elizabethtown and Cecilia were 6 miles apart.
Is that right? Well, the point is, I guess, you know, when I came here, I heard about the Moo Dairy Queen. I hope somebody finds something with the Moo Dairy Queen and puts it into your museum, because so many people who lived in Elizabethtown before it started to spread out all over the place talk about the Moo Dairy Queen, which I guess used to be almost the northern edge of Elizabethtown. But I guess the point I'm making is, and you've already said it's not an E-Town museum, it's a Hardin County museum, but this community has changed a lot over the last 3 or 4 decades, quite a bit.
Oh, certainly. When I graduated from the Elizabethtown High School, there were 35 people in my class. The population of Elizabethtown in 1940 was 3,333. I think it probably was only 2,000 some hundred a decade earlier.
Well, I guess I say all that to say that the times change, and that if somebody is not taking stock of the community, whether we go back 30 years, 50 years, 100 years, whatever, then future generations will just have no idea what this community looked like and how much it has changed and how much it has grown.
At one time, I can remember that the northern city limits of Elizabethtown were just this side, just south of the building now occupied by Duplicator Sales and Service, and the Sonic Drive-In across the street were outside the city limits of Elizabethtown in a community called Claysville.
Well, when we first came to the community, there was no town mall. There was no E-Town Swim and Fitness. I would say half of the industrial plants that we have here now were not here, you know, 29 years ago. I could go on and on of the various changes. Mary Jo, time has really rushed by. We've only got a minute, so if you would repeat that 100, that 800 number for us, and tell us what the people need to do in terms of getting items to you.
Call us at 1-800-384-6789. Somebody will get back with you. We'll arrange to come to your place and talk to you about whatever you have. And I forgot to tell you, we will take items either as a gift or on loan. And so give us a call. The 800 number again is 1-800-384-6789.
We've been talking with Mary Jo Richardson Jones, who is one of the board members, one of the board of directors of the new Hardin County History Museum, which will be opening sometime in the month of July there in the old public library building across from City Hall in E-Town, which is at the corner of Dixie and Mulberry.
To Heart of the Matter, a weekly community affairs program produced by WIEL.